And a very good evening to you. About 11 minutes after 6 o'clock, Jeff Boggs with you for the Lorville Tigers Sports Show, along with head coach Rhett Pelche, who joins us. Today's show, of course, brought to you in part by Bayrard Transportation and the Rural Health Clinic. Appreciate their support of our coverage of Lorville Athletics. Coach Rhett Pelche again joins us. Good evening, Rhett. How are you doing today?
Good evening. Doing well.
I know it's been a couple of tough weeks for your squad, but again, young team that is going through the motions of learning the game a little bit more than perhaps what they had experienced in the past.
That's right. Yes. Friday we played a Welsh team who had a lot of veterans returning from the previous year. And, you know, I thought in the first half our kids played really well. You know, I felt they were tuned in and focused. It was our best performance up to that point. You know, minus a few miscues in the red zone, we had the opportunity of closing the gap 20-14, which, you know, didn't happen. Went into the half 23-7. And then, you know, we had several turnovers and injuries in the second half that kind of had a snowball effect. And we had already went into the game minus two starters already. So, you know, we just didn't have that depth to recover from that. So it kind of just snowballed on us from there.
I know we've got a few changes to the starting lineup, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But
yes,
if you could go through maybe a few of the positions and talk about the progression and what you're still hoping to see in those guys.
You know, we only returned one receiver out of our receiving core. We're in spread, so we have four receivers. You know, and they're still learning their roles, you know, getting used to their concepts, their running, their alignments, and their depths. And, you know, it's a lot to remember playing receiver. It's not just, you know, backyard football where you run whatever you want and, you know, get open and catch football. You know, every route is precise, and they're still learning that and getting better at it. And then, you know, you have the technique of catching football. You know, that's the receivers. And then our linemen, we returned two offensive linemen from last year. So we have three guys that are learning their roles again, you know, and learning the schemes. And then once you learn the schemes, you know, not every team runs the same type of front. So you have to be able to apply your rules to each type of scheme. So, you know, our kids are getting used to doing that as well. You know, you know, Zai is a talented quarterback. You know, he's trying to help those guys, the receivers, learn their routes and help them get aligned. And, you know, we have a veteran running back returning, Leslie Joseph. So, you know, we're just looking to build some continuity within the offense. And then defensively, you know, it's the same thing. We returned three starters. So we graduated our entire defensive line from last year. So those defense, we're rotating a lot of defensive linemen right now. And, you know, they're learning their techniques. Granted, we play a different style offense each week, so some schemes may require different types of techniques. So, you know, they just have to get better with those techniques that are required each week, you know. And we return Blaze Bro at linebacker. So, you know, he has a lot on his plate. You know, he has to get our defensive line aligned. He has to make the blitz checks or, you know, get the linebackers aligned. And then we have our defensive backfield where, you know, we return Adam Emile, Brennan Williams, and, you know, we rotate Zion there. So we have two corners that are learning the position. So, you know, at every spot we have some inexperience, but we are getting better. You know, it's just we have to be able to put it together for four quarters.
Yeah, and, you know, for folks who just look at the score, it might look like you're regressing.
Right.
But if you take a closer look, you can see that you're getting better. But some folks will ask, why doesn't the score show that?
Right, yeah. You know, well, I mean, we had three quick turnovers in the third quarter that led to 21 points. And, you know, I mean, with the injuries we had, it kind of snowballed, you know. And yeah, the score is misleading, but, you know, nothing to take anything away from Welsh. They are a good football team.
You know? Absolutely.
And I think they're going to do well in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't think they had a week one opponent, but they dominated their week number two.
Yeah, they played Kaplan, who's a good program also.
Yeah. So, again, you played those three games. I don't think it's your last non-district game. I think you got PC, Catholic PC coming up as well. But what do you take from those first three non-district games? How do you translate it? You know, we talk a lot how district doesn't mean as much anymore.
Right.
Unless you can put together a nice district record for the postseason, it might pay dividends.
Well, what I take from the first three games is week one, we made a plethora of mistakes. And at one point in the game, we were down by 1 point. So what I took from that is, you know, we have the ability to be competitive if we can eliminate those mistakes. And then, you know, LCA wasn't the same mistakes, but again, it's mistakes made based on game plan and what, you know, our kids' responsibilities are, you know, that were not done. They were able to take advantage of that. And then going into week three, you know, you could see the first half, those kids were tuned in, and we were really competitive. You know, and Welsh is a good program. Nothing to take away from them. But, you know, I felt that we competed with Welsh toe-to-toe. And, you know, had we been healthier and you know, ball bounced our way a couple of times, it might have been a different ball game. You know, momentum is a strange thing. You know, and the minute a few mistakes happened, and they had a few quick scores, and, you know, our kids kind of got down a little bit. But you know, they kept fighting. But, you know, I think if we can eliminate those mistakes, you know, the outcome will be different.
There you go. Again, your first three non-district opponents, certainly all of them good in their own respective divisions classifications.
Mm-hmm.
So you just hope it toughens the metal a little bit as you get into district play.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that. But the district as a whole, and we did sort of recap review the district last week. But again, we see how strong this district is that you're about to get into.
Yeah, it is. You know, I think Catholic and Ascension are both undefeated right now. Generate's 2-1. You know, they're playing really well. Maybe Franklin, I don't know. I think they might
Franklin's struggling. West St. Mary's struggling.
Yeah.
But.
You know, I mean, the top half of the district is really competitive.
And I understand, and you and I talked about this, I think, in our initial show, talking about the Southern Lab penalties, and it turns out Ascension Episcopal has now picked up a state championship trophy. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, you know, I just think that, you know, if there's a team that, you know, gets caught doing something that they're not supposed to be doing, then, you know, they don't deserve the championship. And, you know, Ascension Episcopal was the opponent, so I see nothing wrong with giving the championship to them.
Yeah, I would agree completely. I was almost surprised that initially, I guess they waited for the appeal process to go through before they decided to do that.
I think it's a formality type of thing.
Yeah, and the appeal process on Southern Lab as well as several other schools. It was a lengthy meeting for the LHSA last week.
I think the same thing happened to Brewbridge a while back, right?
And that is possible.
Yeah.
So, again, congratulations to the Blue Gators there of Ascension Episcopal. But, again, getting back into tomorrow's game. But before we talk about tomorrow's game, I understand you had a very successful JV game yesterday.
Junior high.
Junior high,
yeah,
excuse
junior
me.
High beat Delcom 30-0. You know, and you're starting to see the benefits of our youth league. A lot of those kids moved up in the junior high this year, and, you know, we have some good football players on our junior high team, and the coaches do a good job with them. And, you know, we kind of streamlined the offense from the same terminology and, you know, went through the youth league, the junior high, and our JV program. So, you know, we're hoping to see the benefits in the future from that.
Yeah, and again, talked about the youth league. It kind of surprised me that they do things like review film.
They're
doing that as we speak, I guess.
Yeah, the one of the youth teams is actually using our weight room right now to review their game from last week, which is great. You know, the kids are getting to learn at an early age, you know, how to watch film, what to look for, and how to learn from it.
Yeah, it surprises me, but yet. Why not? If the tools and technology is there, and
that's correct.
If the kids can comprehend what it is they're paying attention
to. It's something you wish, you know, I could have had when I was a kid that age, you know?
No doubt about it. 21 minutes after 6, it's the Lorville Tigers Sports Show. We'll open up phone lines coming up in just a little bit. Preview tomorrow night's game, again, a Thursday night game against Generette on the road. We'll talk about it and more after a word from our sponsors. And again, Our show today brought to you in part by the Rural Health Clinic and Bayard Transportation.
The Rural Health Clinic of Lauraville is a complete family practice clinic treating patients from infancy through adulthood. Brock Romero and staff offer a variety of services such as preventative care and health maintenance, treatment of acute and chronic diseases, hypertension and diabetic management, CDL school and sports physical exams, labs, EKGs and drug screens, minor emergency procedures and more. The staff at the Rural Health Clinic of Lauraville wish the Lauraville Tigers a great season.
Lauraville fans, listen up. Your hometown grocery store is Village Market, and they're still selling your favorite staples, groceries, meats, fresh fruits, and veggies. At the Village Market, the prices may be low, but there's no shortchanging on service. Visit Village Market in Lauraville, 120 Main Street, for all your tailgating supplies, and don't forget to look for them on Facebook. And remember, go Tigers! Village Market, they love saving you money.
In 1945, Roy Bayard started Bayard Transportation, a company that quickly became the leader in the heavy transport industry, transporting offshore platforms, mega yachts, and other projects weighing thousands of tons. Today, we are constantly investing in the latest technological advances to ensure that our clients receive the best and safest services. Visit us online at BayardTransport.com or on Facebook. The Bayard team would like to wish the Lauraville Tigers a great season. Go Tigers!
Ed Broussard Marine Service is located at 2304 Main Street in Generette. Whether it's quarter barges, self-propelled spud barges, water barge, or tug, our company was founded in 1965 in Lauraville by Edwin Broussard and has been providing clients with dependable service and equipment for years in the inland oil field, geophysical construction, and dredging industry ever since. Explore our website at www.edbroussardmarine.com or call Jimmy at 337-579-2017 to learn more about our fleet and what Ed Broussard Marine can do for your next project.
It's the Gumbo Show, a little bit of everything good. Bonjour, this is Lee Kay, and I want you to join me in promoting and exploring Louisiana culture with interviews from local musicians, painters, artists, artisans, museum curators, and local leaders. Musical guests such as Don Rich, Jamie Bergeron, Johnny Allen, T.K. Hewlett, Warren Starr, Willie T., Rob Bernard, Gino, Steve Grisappi, Gigi Shin, and many more to come. Join me every Thursday morning for The Gumbo Show. A little bit of everything good.
Your home for high school sports. Kane Radio, AM 1240.
And we do welcome you back here on Kane Radio. Jeff Boggs along with Lauraville head football coach Rhett Pelche at the Lauraville Tigers Sports Show. Let's go ahead and open up phone lines at 367-1240. If you've got a question or comment for the coach, don't hesitate to give us a call again. 367-1240. Tomorrow night, Lauraville at Generette, the first of the games in the district tomorrow night. And we're pleased, well, we mentioned last week that we were broadcasting the game. Had an opportunity to bring in a special aspect of our broadcast tomorrow. Our sister station, ESPN New Orleans, has been doing some live streaming of high school football games. And when my boss's truck found out we were doing a Thursday night game and he was available, the equipment was available, we thought we'd do a bit of a dry run at Generette tomorrow. So we're excited about being able to live stream the game on our website at Kane1240.com. And then hopefully in internet, YouTube, in perpetuity. It never does get lost once it gets on the internet, you know?
Yeah.
You got to be careful about that. That can be good and that can be bad.
Yeah,
but,
<sure. laughs>
but we're looking forward to it. It'll be kind of a dry run for us. They've been doing it over there, and hopefully it will maybe be able to do it for another Thursday night game, but that would be it. Probably, but the most important thing is what's going on the field as you get ready for Generette. Tigers, a bit of a surprising 2-1 and almost stole a victory at Westgate a couple of weeks ago as well. Tough 14-6 loss over a depleted Westgate team. I know you've had a chance to review their film from last week's game against Abbeville and also the game against Westgate. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, we kind of saw them a little bit play Highland at the Jamboree. They have two good running backs. They like to run the football. You know, they do have a quarterback that is athletic. You know, he's very mobile. So you have to be aware of him at all times. Defensively, you know, from what I remember is they run a 3-3 stack, and Their kids are very aggressive. You know, they get to the football. So they're a lot improved ball club last couple of years than, you know, from what I remember, you know.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the aggressiveness. They just don't know when to quit.
Yeah.
And that's what you respect about a team that has struggled in recent years. You know, always, not always on the positive side of a score, but even down late in what would be considered by many not a viable outcome to win a game, but they always seem to play hard. And that seems to have paid some dividends then for this year.
Yeah. It seems like their numbers are up. I don't know. I mean, we didn't get a roster or anything, so I don't know exactly how many they have, but it seems like they have quite a bit more than what they've had in the past few years.
Yeah, I would agree. And not only looking at the sidelines, but I also noticed their fans at the Jamboree were higher in attendance, too.
Right,
and that was good to see. So it's a program that's turned around. What did you see in that film that has brought them this success?
I just think, you know, because I know back, you know, a couple years ago, they were playing a lot of junior high kids. They had a lot of junior high kids on the team, you know, because they had low numbers. Well, I think just those younger kids are growing up. They're becoming more mature. And now they're able to contribute to their program, you know, in playing the game of football.
Yeah, I'm looking at their roster now and maybe eighth or younger. I think they even have a seventh grader on the roster. But like you say, that does pay dividends down the road.
Yeah, it does. You know, you get a lot of, you know, those kids get a lot of experience that way. You know, and granted, you know, playing as a seventh or an eighth grader on a varsity squad, you know, it may be tough at first, but that's good experience for those kids, you know, and they're going to see benefits in the near future because of that.
A lot of players having to play both ways, but that's not unusual at the 2A level,
right.
And you've had to deal with that issue
definitely. You know, we have, you know, I think last year we had eight starters going both ways, you know, that were seniors.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and you take into account that's 16 positions that you lost right there. You know, and I think this year we have a handful going both ways again. So, you know, you hope that, you know, each year you get enough players and that we're able to step into roles where you don't have to do that. But, you know, that's not always the case.
Yeah. How do you see, because it's somewhat of a rivalry game, I would imagine your players kind of think of it as a rivalry game, even though it hasn't been a real close rivalry as of late. Do they feel a certain amount of urgency this year versus prior?
It's hard to say because, you know, we added 34 kids to the team this year, and those 34 kids were not on the Lorville's football team last year, and, you know, 19 of those are freshmen, so the rest of those are 10th, 11th, and 12th. They haven't been a part of that. So it's really hard to say how they feel. It's, you know, they want to win a football game. You know, they're doing what it takes to win a football game. But to talk about the rivalry between Louisville and Jarrett, I don't know if they really see it as that, you know.
Yeah, you know, Drew Brees said something in advance of last week's game that a win over the Patriots wasn't that important. Right now, this team just needs to win.
That's right, and that's, you know, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get ourselves better and win a football game, you know, and that's what we're concerned about right now.
You know, as far as your first three games, I would imagine you count snaps, you know, running versus throwing the ball. Is that something you look at and say, well, maybe we need to tweak this here or there, or are you just playing the hand you're dealt with?
Yeah, you know, it's game plan and based on defensive tendencies and maybe change of game plan. As you know, we've gone into games, you know, thinking a team was going to run a specific defense where, you know, they came out doing something completely different. So it kind of alters your play calling based on that, you know. Or some teams, when you have a receiver that can threaten the ball, you know, thrown deep, they will tend to play a deeper coverage where they give you a lot of underneath throws. So, you know, maybe a lot of quick game or screen game might be done instead of throwing the ball deep, you know. Or it just depends, you know, or if they load the box up, you know, try to take away the run. Obviously, you know, you're going to take advantage of the passing game. So it kind of depends on how the team wants to defend you.
And, you know, when you've been dealing with deficits in the second half of games, you have to make adjustments.
Yeah, right.
And because of that, you're not always allowed to do the things you'd like to do.
Yeah, no, second half, you know, like Welsh game, second half was lopsided, you know, as far as pass to run ratio. And Lafayette Christian kind of became that way, too. But, you know, hopefully, you know, in the near future, you know, we can be able to help ourselves, you know, keep ourselves out of a hole and be able to control that better.
Yeah. You know, especially at the high school level, obviously special teams are important at every level of football, but it can really make a difference in high school. Quality special teams can really break a back of a team.
Right.
And I always like to talk about the progression of those things because, you know, those snaps aren't as easy as it looks.
No, it's
all
not.
Those different things, you know, the timing of those things. And just curious how that progression has gone for you.
You know, I think it's going really well. You know, last year we weren't able to put an extra point unit out there. This year we have one. We have a kicker who's capable of doing it, and he's only going to get better. You know, he's in the 10th grade. And, you know, that's a viable part of our program now. You know, and as he gets better, you know, we'll be able to, you know, have field goal attempts, you know, which obviously is going to help our offense out in scoring. You know, aside from that, you know, we practice special teams. You know, we're doing more special teams every day, you know, as a part of practice, which is very important. And, you know, hopefully we're able to get more kids involved in the special teams, being that we have more than a team this year, which is a big help. You know, you don't have a lot of starters playing offense, defense, and special teams. We have younger guys who are able to contribute on those special teams, you know, maybe to get our starter off the field for a player or two, you know. So, you know, we've seen the benefits of that.
There you go. Once again, taking on Generette tomorrow, again, 7 o'clock Thursday game. How much does that affect your game week preparations?
Well, we started on Monday and we treated it like a Tuesday practice, you know. Just kind of a condense. You have to condense a Monday and a Tuesday into one day. Today was our walkthrough day, which is, you know, normally on a Thursday. So I just think that, you know, it doesn't affect it that much, I think. It's just maybe you just don't get the amount of reps that you would have gotten in a regular week, you know.
Yeah. I know you can't always pick and choose, but would you rather have those at home? Is that at all a factor?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if it's a factor, but I would prefer, you know, a Thursday game to be at home if we had to have one, you know.
Right. And you did avoid that in week
one. Yeah, I mean, I really don't want to play Thursday at all at home because, you know, I would rather our games on Friday. But if we had to have a Thursday game, I would prefer it to be at home.
There you go. In going back to Generette, again, I'm not sure. You said you didn't have a roster, but maybe you remember some numbers. I know from the Jamboree, Ahmed Mitchell, number 26, he was pretty productive in the Jamboree, along with Sean Sparrow, number 5. And I'm just curious.
Yeah, that's the two running backs, yeah.
Yeah. You've seen some quality work from them.
Yeah, they're some good athletes, you know, and they run the ball well. And, you know, we have to do a good job of wrapping those guys up, you know, and not letting them gain extra yardage after the first hit.
Their quarterback, Mikhail Maxey, number 10,
took
most of the snaps.
Yeah. You know, he actually had a cousin that played wide receiver for us.
You know, I thought that name sounded familiar.
Yeah, Kendall Maxey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kendall was a wide receiver slash running back for us.
So, Mikhail, are they running the ball more, throwing the ball more?
They tend to run the ball more. You know, now they do run a lot, good bit of shotgun stuff, you know, and if you know, if pass is not there, that's when, you know, Maxie's dangerous. He has that ability to scramble into the open field, so we have to do a good job of keeping him in the pocket.
There you go. After today's game, you're going to host Franklin, and I believe that's homecoming?
Yes, it is.
Tell us a little bit of the challenges of homecoming week.
You know, it's
and I know you're not looking ahead to the game.
No,
You got Generette to worry about first and foremost. But I'm kind of curious.
I mean, just, you know, I think it's with any program. You know, you try to have the kids know that, you know, the extracurricular activity during the weeknight is, you know, for the student body,
mm-hmm.
and you would hope that, you know, our football players would, you know, be smart about things, because, you know, I can remember one year where we had a football player. He came to school one day with a sprained ankle, and it happened because he was running around at night, you know, doing extracurricular activities. So, you know, you would just hope that those kids keep in mind, you know, the possibilities that could happen in taking part in things like that, because the dance, you know, the dance, the homecoming dance is for them.
Yeah.
You know, that's where they can, you know, have their fun and whatnot. It's just, you know.
And it's always, and I'm sure you impart this on them, you'll enjoy the game or the dance more if you put in a good week of preparation.
Right, because, you know, if you're staying up late, you know, running outside late at night, then, you know, they become sluggish throughout the week. And, you know, you might, you know, you could see that in the game. You know, I've seen examples of that before.
You know,
just that's what things are that you try to avoid.
Yeah, I remember my first high school football coach, and it was the first year that the school opened up. It was a brand new school as I entered my sophomore year,
right.
Just sophomores and juniors. And our head coach, who had forgotten the fact that the school was in its first year, said, you know what, this homecoming game, it's not about the current players. It's about the alumni. And then we reminded him that there are no alumni, you know, and he had to kind of redo that speech. But really, that is what it's all about. Homecoming is about the alumni.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and I think Coach Reed and the administration have been working on honoring, you know, certain guys for halftime that are Lorville graduates, you know, that have had some success in their football career, you know, some being making it to the league and whatnot, so... I think that's a great thing, you know, getting the community involved and bringing some of those guys back.
There you go. Are you aware of any of the activities next week? By the time we get you back next Wednesday.
I should have a better idea of the schedule next week. But, I know we have the parade on Thursday, and we have activity days as far as dress-up days. I just don't have that schedule.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm thinking more that the fans would
We have the pep rally and the bonfire and the parade is – usually on Thursday, you know, all in one day. So, you know, it's about it.
All right. But again, you'll be available Wednesday then.
Sure.
Good, good. In fact, that would be a good week maybe to take the show on the road, homecoming week. We'll see what we can do about that. In the meantime, I do want to thank again our sponsors, our show tonight and throughout the year, brought to us by Bayard Transportation and Bruce, or I should say Rural Health Clinic. I do want to thank Village Market and Broussard Marine. They're also sponsoring tomorrow night's football game at Generette. We'll talk more about that, some other district action this weekend, and more coming up after these.
In 1945, Roy Bayard started Bayard Transportation, a company that quickly became the leader in the heavy transport industry, transporting offshore platforms, mega yachts, and other projects weighing thousands of tons. Today, we are constantly investing in the latest technological advances to ensure that our clients receive the best and safest services. Visit us online at BayardTransport.com or on Facebook. The Bayard team would like to wish the Lauraville Tigers a great season. Go Tigers.
Lauraville fans, listen up. Your hometown grocery store is Village Market, and they're still selling your favorite staples, groceries, meats, fresh fruits, and veggies. At the Village Market, the prices may be low, but there's no shortchanging on service. Visit Village Market in Lauraville, 120 Main Street, for all your tailgating supplies, and don't forget to look for them on Facebook. And remember, Go Tigers. Village Market, they love saving you money.
The Rural Health Clinic of Lauraville is a complete family practice clinic treating patients from infancy through adulthood. Rock Romero and staff offer a variety of services such as preventative care and health maintenance, treatment of acute and chronic diseases, hypertension and diabetic management, CDL school and sports physical exams, labs, EKGs and drug screens, minor emergency procedures, and more. The staff at the Rural Health Clinic of Lauraville wish the Lauraville Tigers a great season.
Ed Broussard Marine Service is located at 2304 Main Street in Generette. Whether it's quarter barges, self-propelled spud barges, water barge, or tug, our company was founded in 1965 in Lauraville by Edmund Broussard and has been providing clients with dependable service and equipment for years in the inland oil field, geophysical construction, and dredging industry ever since. Explore our website at www.edbroussardmarine.com or call Jimmy at 337-579-2017 to learn more about our fleet and what Ed Broussard Marine can do for your next project.
Hi, this is Boxcar Bajor inviting you to join me and PGA Golf professional Teddy Swyman for Chip Shots. Mondays from 5 to 6 p.m., we'll take an in-depth look at the local, state, and national golf scenes. And we invite you to chip in with your calls at 367-1240. Chip Shots is brought to you by GolfBalls.com and the Coca-Cola Bottling Company of New Iberia, as well as our club sponsors, Squirrel Run, Spanish Trail, and Sugar Oaks. So let's make it a tee time for 5 p.m. on Mondays for Chip Shots on Kane. Stream us live on Kane1240.com and catch the podcast the next day.
Being on the team at LCTA Workers' Comp,
I get to help agents and policyholders with their workers' comp.
I think they choose LCTA because we investigate claims as soon as we're notified.
We deliver great coverage at affordable rates.
And we provide the security of 27 years of financial strength.
For workers' comp, choose the company with exceptional support from people like me.
And me.
And me.
LCTA Workers' Comp.
Visit lctacomp.com.
Lee K. Mornings on Kane Radio, AM 1240, the voice of the Tesh.
Get up. And again, we are back. Lorville Tiger Sports Show. Head coach Rhett Pelche. I'm Jeff Boggs. And again, phone lines are open at 367-1240. If you'd like to offer up a thought, some encouragement as we head into tomorrow night's game. Again, we'll have that for you here on Kane. But definitely encourage you to get there if you can. Support both teams, definitely. And again, though, if you can't make it there and don't want to listen to the radio, maybe you want to live stream it at Kane1240.com. Go to Kane1240.com. I'm told there will be a simple link onto the front page of the website. Hopefully that will be the case, as promised. But we'll try and bring you the best, probably just a one-camera shoot. We're trying out some new equipment and Hopefully we do it some justice, but again, if you can make it to the stadium, I always encourage you to do so. Coach, a few other games in the district tomorrow, week number four. Catholic High, they're out of district. One of you guys, I guess, always have to play out of district. As the way it works, odd number of teams in the district. They're at Notre Dame. Notre Dame really put it on to Turlings last week. Did that score surprise you?
It did somewhat. I mean, you know, I know Notre Dame's a good football program, but so is Turlings. I mean, I know Turlings has, you know, that I think an LSU commit offensive tackle and, you know, some good skilled guys and quarterbacks. So I thought it would have been more competitive than what it was.
I was surprised by it. You know, I don't know what was going on in Coach Indest's mind throughout the week looking at that tape, but he's got a pretty good squad, too.
Yeah, he does.
He's had a couple of guys rack up some pretty good numbers as well. That looks to be an interesting matchup.
It does.
The other game in district this week is West St. Mary at Franklin. I hate to say things like this that, well, somebody's got to win. But, and again, that was me saying it, not Coach Pelche. Don't use that against him when those two teams hook up. But it, I say it because, in this case, that's a good thing. Someone walks away with a victory, hopefully, and they can build, perhaps, upon that.
Right.
You hope. You hope that's the case. So, again, that's what's going on in the district. Some other games this week, Ascension Episcopal, they're at Delcom. Oh, that's another district game, obviously. I forgot about that one. Ascension Episcopal at Delcom. Delcom having their early season struggles and taking on a team that looks pretty proficient right now.
Yeah, you know, I think Ascension's quarterback may have been injured last week. I don't know the extent of the injury, but, you know, so I'm not sure.
And that is also tomorrow night. You know, as the situation works, obviously schools try and schedule Thursday during festival weekend.
Right, yeah.
So in this case, it works out well.
Yeah.
Again, without kids in school Friday, that's always been, plus the distractions going on. Another game tomorrow night, Highland Baptist, they're going to be, and that's not a district game. Lafayette Christian is at Highland Baptist tomorrow night. We saw, you got to see Lafayette Christian last week. Highland finally got away with a victory last week. They're homecoming, so they've got a little momentum, but a heck of an opponent there.
Yeah, Lafayette Christian has a good ball club.
Real good. And the rest of the area schedule, again, the four districts that we cover the most, Westgate's at Captain Shreve, Karen Crow hosting Ouachita Parish, Sam Houston at Sulphur, Lafayette is at Barb, LaGrange is at Como, Nish opens up district play at Acadiana, Northside hosting St. Martinville, St. Thomas More at Catholic of Baton Rouge, West St. Mary at Franklin, as we mentioned, Central Catholic at Gaydon, VC is at Hanson, Centerville is at Ecole Classique, Rain is at Erath and Turlings is hosting Rummel. So those games all Friday night, to my knowledge. Coach, I meant to bring this up earlier in the season because it would make more sense to do so, but there were a few rule changes, and there were a couple that kind of surprised me, but I kind of like it, and I'm hopefully certain that you're aware of some of these changes, that face guarding for one is now allowed.
Yeah, you are allowed to face guard as long as you don't make contact with the receiver. That was...
And I've never understood why not. I never agreed with that rule. Contact is one thing.
Right.
But if you can do something to distract, just because you're not turning and looking at the ball, that
right.
kind of a thing.
Yeah. I think that, that definitely turns the advantage back to the defense now, as far as defending.
Is that something you've coached then, players?
Yeah.
That...
Yeah. Before, you had to turn and look for the ball, and there were times where you would lose track of the receiver. Well, now, you can keep your eyes on the receiver the entire time and, never have to turn your head to play for the ball. You can play through his hands now.
And it teaches maybe a receiver then, conversely, that, hey, don't give it away.
Yeah.
Try not to give it away too much, what you're dealing with. Rule change on intentional grounding. Apparently, much like in the NFL, college games, quarterbacks will now be able to throw the ball away once they leave the pocket as long as it goes past the line of scrimmage.
That's something I have to remind our guy about, because he, he's so competitive, he doesn't want to give up on the play where, sometimes it just get the ball out of his hands and, don't take that hit. As long as you're out the pocket and the ball goes across the line of scrimmage, you're allowed to do that now.
And
I thought we should have been able to do that before. It protects the kid. You don't get a late hit a lot of times. And
You're right, and I never put it into that perspective, but with so much of a concentration on player safety these days, it seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Blindside hits in the past, I guess you could technically hit an opponent with your shoulder from the blindside.
Yeah.
Now a player needs to initiate contact with his hands when colliding with an opponent.
Yeah, you've seen vicious – you call games, you've seen vicious hits before and just
– and sadly, that's those the ooh and ah moments, but we need to break away from that mentality.
And by using your hands, you take away that gruesome hit, by the helmet or the shoulder pad.
There you go. Last 2 minutes of game now when a flag – and there is no two-minute warning, but within the last 2 minutes when a flag is thrown of either half, the team not flagged will have the option – to start the clock at ready for play or the snap of the ball.
Right, yeah. For example, you're playing an opponent and the clock's running, they false start. Okay? Mm-hmm. Well, the clock would normally stop. Well, now we can say, no, start the clock again.
And the defense can sit and say, why should they benefit from a penalty?
That's right.
Yeah, I like that. And onside kicks, teams trailing late in games will still be able to utilize an onside kick, but not the bounce kick.
No. Church Point did an excellent job of that type of onside kick. Last time we went to Church Point, their kicker, what you can't do is you cannot kick the ball and drive it into the ground to make it pop up high in the air. You have to kick it out and make it, dribble a couple of times. And you may get the two rolls and then get the high bounce on the third roll, that type of onside kick. But you can no longer drive the football into the ground off the tee and cause it to skyrocket in the air.
Do you worry there will be tough policing of that? How far, for instance, in front of the tee can it bounce?
The ball just has to fly off of the – you can't drive the ball into the ground to make it fly up. You can kick it outward and make it bounce, but you cannot drive the ball into the ground from the tee and make it go straight up in the air, because by rule, you cannot call fair catch if you drive the ball into the ground and it goes up in the air. So that kid's just sitting there trying to catch a ball, and he can't call fair catch. So – it's really dangerous for that type of kid. That's why they did away with it. Now, when you're kicking the ball out and it's getting those few bounces, you have an opportunity to try to field the ball, jump on it, and whatnot. But when you're driving that ball straight to the ground, it's going up 20 yards in the air, and you can't call a fair catch on that, that's tough.
Gotcha. Any other – those are rule changes I was aware of. Anything else
out
there?
They did a slide rule for the quarterback, from what I remember. I think they misstated it in the rules meeting. They stated where the feet would be, and obviously that's incorrect. It's going to be where the ball is being held
when
by
the
quarterback.
Turf.
When he gives up himself, when he starts to go to the ground, that's where they're going to mark it. Now, the kid cannot slide 4 yards, and they're going to mark it where, you know, ball is at 4 yards. It's going to be where he surrendered right. himself, sliding into the ground.
Yeah, and that makes sense as well.
Yeah.
Once again, 367-1240, our phone number. If you do have any other thoughts related to that or anything else, don't hesitate to give us a call, 367-1240. Any other activities that we haven't hit on that are worth noting in and around the program or the school?
You know, just regular routine. We have junior high next week. JV plays Southside, and, you know, youth league games on Saturday.
There you go. Check it out. Again, tomorrow night's game, 7 o'clock. Our pregame show beginning at 6:30 tomorrow, and don't be surprised. I'm not sure when the stream will begin. It may not begin as early as our radio pregame show, but, again, if you want to check out our stream at Kane1240.com. And again, hopefully we don't drive fans away with our content, but hopefully we get a good crowd there. And once again, good to see an up-and-coming Generate team, and good to see, or hopefully we see Lorville progress a little bit tomorrow night as well.
Right.
Coach, always a pleasure, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Once again, Lorville head coach Rhett Pelche, the Lorville Tigers Sports Show, each and every Wednesday night at about 6:10, and we hope that you'll join us again next week, possibly in Lorville. We're going to try and see if we can pull that off tomorrow, or for next week's show. We'll talk more about that. Should have a decision by Saturday. Well, actually, I'm not doing a show Saturday morning with our doing a Thursday night broadcast and the Sugarcane Festival. It is a mess in front of these studios on Saturday morning during the festival. The children's parade. I said, forget about it. I'm taking the morning off. Anyway, next Wednesday for sure, but we'll have some news about it, and we'll pass that along. But again, thanks to Coach Rhett Pelche. Thanks to our sponsors, Bayard Transportation and the Rural Health Clinic. News is coming up at the top of the hour.
In 1945, Roy Bayard started Bayard Transportation, a company that quickly became the leader in the heavy transport industry, transporting offshore platforms, mega yachts, and other projects weighing thousands of tons. Today, we are constantly investing in the latest technological advances to ensure that our clients receive the best and safest services. Visit us online at BayardTransport.com or on Facebook. The Bayard team would like to wish the Lorville Tigers a great season. Go Tigers.
Ed Broussard Marine Service is located at 2304 Main Street in Generette. Whether it's quarter barges, self-propelled spud barges, water barge, or tug, our company was founded in 1965 in Lorville by Edmund Broussard and has been providing clients with dependable service and equipment for years in the inland oil field, geophysical construction, and dredging industry ever since. Explore our website at www.edbroussardmarine.com or call Jimmy at 337-579-2017 to learn more about our fleet and what Ed Broussard Marine can do for your next project.
The Rural Health Clinic of Lorville is a complete family practice clinic treating patients from infancy through adulthood. Brock Romero and staff offer a variety of services such as preventative care and health maintenance, treatment of acute and chronic diseases, hypertension and diabetic management, CDL school and sports physical exams, labs, EKGs and drug screens, minor emergency procedures, and more. The staff at the Rural Health Clinic of Lorville wish the Lorville Tigers a great season.
Lorville fans, listen up. Your hometown grocery store is Village Market, and they're still selling your favorite staples, groceries, meats, fresh fruits, and veggies. At the Village Market, the prices may be low, but there's no shortchanging on service. Visit Village Market in Lorville, 120 Main Street, for all your tailgating supplies, and don't forget to look for them on Facebook. And remember, go Tigers! Village Market, they love saving you money.